We're picking up in our series going through the Sermon on the Mount. We are in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 8, but then we'll be primarily looking at verse 8. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to you this morning, as we dive into your word, that you would be responding, that you would be helping it to come alive in our hearts and minds, that you would be filling us with your truth, that you'd be helping us to understand to deeper levels who you are and how you love us. We pray that you would help us to know more and more where you call us to, what you ask of us. We thank you, and we praise you, and we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So every once in a while, I do something a little bit different, maybe, I don't know, Drew style. So I'm going to need a couple of volunteers to play a game. Is there anybody who's feeling brave this morning? Let me grab the game, and if no one's up here, then I'm going to start calling people out. Okay, I see a fanning. I see a circle. Hey, somebody was pointing at you. I don't know. No. So this is legitimately one of my favorite games in the world. Yeah, you can, Everett, if you want to come up, you can. This is like an all-ages game. There's an element of risk. It involves food. So, and some of you might have played this game before. It's a really easy game. It's called Bean Boozled. Have you guys played that game? It's Bean Boozled. So it's jelly beans. The way it's played is you spin this spinner, and whatever it lands on, you have to eat one of those flavor of beans. But you don't know what the flavor is. It's one of two things. Like, it could be toasted marshmallow or stink bug. Or it could be a banana or a wet dog. Or Emerson had this morning, it was either pomegranate or old Band-Aid. She got old Band-Aid. Anybody want to back out? Okay, so, I mean, it's really easy. You spin it. Oh, I got to give it a good spin. Okay, whatever. Mine is either going to be strawberry banana smoothie or dead fish.
Go for the dead fish.
Well, you don't know if what you're going to get. I think this is the right one. That's not strawberry banana smoothie. Okay. Yeah, that's really not. There's probably a trash can somewhere. There you can pick. Okay. So that's either toasted marshmallow or stink bug. Yeah. Or I think it's the brown speckled one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Toasted marshmallow. Okay. Who's up? All right. feeling brave, feeling bold.
Least favorite game in the world.
What is that one? Oh, that is
get out of jail free. Yes.
Peach or barf?
Dude, you gotta understand. There are two things in my life: if I see, hear, or smell.
Just pick a random bean. You don't have to go with the spinner. Okay. So believe it or not, my kids beg me to play this game. Like, they love it. Yeah. The kids at the Garfield Playground yesterday really wanted to keep playing this game.
Strawberry banana, dead fish.
Dead fish is not good. I'm just, I think so. Okay. All right, Mr. Hutton. Oh, what is that? Licorice or burnt rubber? You can pick a different one. You can pick a different one. Same thing. What's that one say? Yep. Okay, strawberry or dead fish. Go for it. It said that one. Okay. Sure.
Strawberry.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, Eileen. Juicy pear or booger? You really can't tell by smelling them, which is it's. Okay, thank you all for playing. It's a game where if you play long enough, everybody's a loser. I'm gonna try one from the row. And that is Old Band-Aid. Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay, so we are right in the middle. Well, actually, we're nearing the ends of our series on the Beatitudes. We are near the end of the Beatitudes, but we are just really beginning on the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be here for a while. Remember that this series is all about our hearts being changed, changing our direction, and changing our message. Some of you might be wondering, what in the world does Bean Boozled have to do with that? And it has to do with today's beatitude, the being pure in heart. Being pure, a sense of purity is about being consistent in our inner life and our outer life. That the life that we present to the outside world should look like the life that we have in private also. And so those jelly beans, they all look the same. On the outside, they all look wonderful. I love, like, Jelly Belly jelly beans. I love them. My dentist loves that I love them. I don't really eat very many of them anymore because of that. But these are not like Jelly Belly jelly beans. Some of them are hypocrites, right? Some of them are the opposite of being pure in heart. They are not on the inside what they are on the outside. Being pure in heart means that our inner life should look like our outer life. That what we say that we believe in should be the way that we live. that we should be bearing fruit and not bad Band-Aid or dog food or whatever it is type of fruit, but the actual fruit that we're supposed to be bearing. When Jesus enters into our lives, he begins to immediately transform our hearts. So we look more like sheep and less like wolves. All of us enter into this as kind of wolves in sheep's clothing. We are all wolves in sheep's clothing, and a wolf cannot transform himself into a sheep or themselves into a sheep. They can't do it. No matter how good your costume is, no matter how good you get at mimicking it, you cannot transform yourself from a wolf to a sheep. But God can, and God does. God offers that transformation for us. And so being pure in heart is about living life outwardly the same as you live inwardly. And yes, it also has to do with removing those impurities from your life. The Christian life, you know, we've talked about this before, is about sinning less and loving more. But purity means that it is always pure. Not just when it's in public, but when it's in private too. Really, the opposite of being pure in heart is hypocrisy. And if you were to talk to, you know, the world around us, what is the greatest criticism of Christians? That they're hypocrites. That they're not really pure in heart, but that they are hypocrites. That when we are not holy gods, our hearts are not whole. And when our hearts are not whole, we are not good neighbors. When we are not holy gods, our hearts are not whole. And when our hearts are not whole, we are not good neighbors. So when God enters into our life and he begins to offer that transformation, he doesn't want to transform just part of it. He wants to transform all of it. Everything about us is being changed, and so we wholeheartedly follow after God. You know, there are times when we are tired, or we're in a bad mood, or when the bad things are happening, and we really just don't feel like being a good-tasting jelly bean, where we kind of just want the world to know that we taste bad. But the problem is when we present ourselves as tasting good when we're really not. You know, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone else. You know, so as I was talking or writing about this, and I was talking to myself, I do that, I was asking myself, you know, I wonder if at times when my kids wake up, if they wonder what jelly bean they're going to get this morning. If they, that when they wake up and they say, well, it's my dad, but is this going to be my grumpy dad? Or is this going to be the dad who is kind, who is patient, who loves me? And yeah, we always, all of us have good days and bad days, but it's about maintaining or moving towards that consistency. You know, we can't always wait for our hearts to be in the right place in order to respond. There are times when things need to happen right now. You know, Kirsten mentioned that she didn't know we had a defibrillator out in the hallway out here. We have a defibrillator because there are times when there isn't time to wait, because we need to use it now. There are times where we can't wait for our hearts to be ready in order to begin to stretch and use those muscles. We act as best as we can in that moment and give our time, or give our hearts space to catch up later. That we act now, hoping that our hearts will catch up later. But then Jesus is challenging with the question, are your hearts catching up? Are you giving room for that to happen? Or are you just continuing to act like something different? Is your heart catching up? And yes, no one's perfect. We talked about this. There are days where we have bad days. There are days where we are just grumpy. And some of us might think, well, you know, I'm not doing my worst. I could be a lot meaner to my kids. Or, my wife should feel lucky because I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Yeah, we might not be doing our worst, but are we doing our best? You know, we can apply this, you know, to a lot of things in our life where we justify the things that we're doing where it could be a lot worse, but we really know that it could be a lot better. And no one's perfect. And we might be thinking, well, who can do this? You know, I know that I can't. That there's just, you know, within me is my imperfections. I mean, we all know that we're not perfect people. And really, but the standard that we're looking at here is perfection. And we can't do it, but Jesus can. And he sent his Holy Spirit to help you. You know, he's the one that's transforming the wolves to sheep, so that we can begin to look more like Jesus. Now, Jesus was true to his emotions. He didn't just fake it. He wasn't happy all the time. You know, the Bible talks about times where he wept, times where he was angry, and he let people know. And yes, times where he was full of joy. But he was sad for the right reasons, he was angry for the right reasons, and he was joyful for the right reasons. And then he acted appropriately within those emotions. He invited people, he says, I am sad. Would you be present with me? Or I recognize that you're sad right now. Can I be present with you? You know, I am angry right now. This is why I am angry. Aren't you also angry about this? Doesn't this fill you with joy? And so Jesus wasn't trying to hide who he was. He was true to his values. He broke through cultural, through social, religious norms all over the place. He wasn't afraid of looking different. He wasn't afraid of people thinking that he was weird or strange or countercultural. He was concerned with people wanting to know, seeing him as being who he was, the Son of God, the one who changes things. And so as I'm talking about this pure in heart, I'm not saying that you have to be happy all the time. But, you know, my kids, when they wake up in the morning and they're thinking, what jelly bean kind of dad am I going to get today? Maybe I'm having a bad morning. But I remember that my bad morning has nothing to do with my kids. And I say to my kids, hey, you know what, I'm pretty grumpy today. Well, you know, I would love it if you guys would recognize that I'm grumpy, but I'm not mad at you. Or to share with them that I'm sad today. And you know, we can do that same type of thing with our neighbors. You know, sometimes we're, you know, like I get home and I think, man, I really don't want to talk to anybody else today. For those of you who don't know, I'm naturally an introvert. I'm an introvert that loves people. And so, you know, sometimes at the end of the day, I just want to be, like, by me. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to kind of, maybe I'll sneak into my house. You know, I have those things. Or how quickly can I get in and out of the grocery store? Am I going to see anybody today? And this is coming from the pastor who invites you to talk to people in line at the grocery store. I know that. What I am saying is that it takes effort on our part. That if we say these are the things that we are supposed to do, then we pause and we do them. That it's important, you know, to take care of ourselves. And so, yeah, I enjoy those moments where I find, where I, you know, I am charged up by being an introvert. But there are times where God says, well, right now I need you to not be. And those are the moments where I have to respond with obedience. That I respond with obedience because I believe and I proclaim that's what God calls us to do. So no one's perfect. We can't do this on our own. Remember, it goes back to that very first beatitude. Our dependence upon God, that we are poor in spirit, that we need Him. And so the beatitude is this wonderful beatitude, but then this blessing is interesting. You know, each beatitude comes with, you know, an action and then a result of that action. And so blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. For they shall see God. 1 Timothy 1:17 says that God is eternal, immortal, and invisible. Yeah, invisible. Which, invisible means you can't see it. Right? So we have a God who is eternal, immortal, and invisible. And a lot of times that's really how God feels, isn't it? You know, He's eternal. He's immortal. We believe these wonderful things about Him, but He seems so invisible. Like, where are you? Like, and as I was reading this, I was like, how cool would that be to see God? And so how do you see the eternal, immortal, and invisible God? Jesus said, I am the image of the invisible God. So when we follow God with our whole hearts, our warped views of God become corrected, and Jesus comes into focus. So as the Holy Spirit moves and works in our lives, and He reorients us, you know, we use that heart analogy, wording, metaphor a lot. But it's not just our hearts that He's transforming. And what it's touching on here is this idea that even our vision of who He is, our knowledge of who He is, gets focused in. And that is how we see God. Our picture of Him becomes clearer. And we begin to lead others into that direction. You know, our neighbors long for a lot of the same things that we long for. They long for truth. They want to know what is true. In a world full of mystery, in a world full of things that doesn't make sense, in a world full of competing voices, our neighbors want to know what's true. They want to be loved, to feel loved. To feel like they belong. They want to feel like there is purpose to their life, that they're here for a reason, that there is something better than simply existing. You know, our neighbors want to feel this authenticity. They don't want one more hypocrite or more hypocrisy in their life. They want authenticity. And so our neighbors are craving a lot of the same things that we are. And so one of the ways that we begin to meet those cravings is by pointing them to the one who has the solution for those cravings, the one who can feed them. And so we are consistent. We are pure in heart. And so, yeah, that means setting aside your sinful ways, beginning to look more and more like Jesus. But really, it's about being consistent in who you are. That we are all on this path forward towards holiness, purity. We're not there yet. I'm not there yet. There is no one on the face of this planet who is there yet. But we're moving closer. You know, and sometimes we get so caught up in our pursuit that we forget that we're still human, that we have imperfections. Yeah, that just because we're, you know, at level 10 Christianity, you know, doesn't mean that we have the right to look down at somebody who's at level 4 Christianity. I just made up levels. There's not really levels. But, sometimes we get that holier-than-thou attitude. And so sometimes it's okay and maybe even beneficial to admit, to recognize our humanity. And not to brag about it or, you know, I'm such a wonderful sinner that, I do this. But at times to say, you know, I really struggle with these things. And often, as we open up about the things that we are struggling with or the things that we are passionate about, we find that we're not really alone. That there are people who are sharing the similar things with us. That when we close ourselves off, others close themselves off too. But when we open ourselves up, the world around us tends to open up more too. And so it's not about being perfect. It's about pursuing the God who is, the God who's drawing you in that direction, the God who will one day fully perfect you when you get to heaven and there will be no more sin or death or dying. But it's about helping to draw others into that direction of being drawn closer. And then trying to stay there. That we don't drift in and out, but we stay there. That it's about momentum, moving forward. So your neighbor is broken just like you. But they need to know, they need to be shown the wholeness that you have in Christ. And maybe as we show them that we are works in progress, then they will conclude that they can draw close to God in the midst of their imperfections too. That they don't have to be perfect to come to church, that they don't have to be perfect in order for Jesus to love them, but they simply have to start in the direction. So friends, being pure in heart seems like this lofty idea, and it is. It's impossible. But through God, God makes the impossible possible. He transforms us in ways that only He can. Remember that. That even now, He is working in you. He is transforming you. And He is calling you to go out and meet your neighbors and share this with them. Let's go and do that. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. I thank You so much that You step into our lives and that You continue to move and work. That You work and You work and You work, transforming us, molding us, remaking us. Help us to show that process to the people around us, for them to see the change that is happening in us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.